boy, the church probably did not like this movie at all. Like, even I was like, God, this is so good. But I will say this. Their marketing department really, Conclave, really did pretty well here. Welcome to the Scene Weekly Podcast, where we pirate dive into one movie every week to try to find the gold. This week's episode is focused on the smallest country by landmass and the transition of the Holy Father in the movie Conclave. Come join Jonathan and Steven and Steven's new attire on a weekly basis. With hopefully less plot chatter and copious more film banter, we are Scene Weekly, and welcome to our world.
Welcome. Welcome. Here we are.
Would you
the
like
Pope
to...
is dead.
Introduce your attire this week.
Yeah, Flagler Beach here. We got the hoodie that I got in Flagler County, Florida.
Was it on the beach?
It was pretty close. Yeah, it was a gift shop.
What inspired right you today?
Today, I was thinking of, you know, the Pope, and what he would wear, and I didn't have any robes. I didn't have any cardinal attire. I didn't have any of that, so I was like, hoodie, white hoodie, I think would be appropriate.
Is that white? Looks gray.
Kind of, well, you know, it's speckled white.
Gray.
Okay, let's go gray.
Well, it's colorblind. We don't know anything about this, but anyway, we originally were going to do a bit of the K-Pax, and well, current events have trickled in enough to my brain to understand that Pope Francis had passed away.
And so, rest in peace.
As of right now, we are. Has the conclave begun? Has the I don't even know the
transition. No, it hasn't. It usually takes about 3 weeks after the Pope dies for them to congregate into the Vatican,
and they should give him a proper send off, of course.
As they will. Yeah,
they clearly do. But I will say this: this movie surprised me.
Did it?
Yeah.
In a good way? I'm wondering.
In a fantastic way.
Well, we know that we like men talking in rooms with Glengarry Glen Ross. I mean, that's basically what that was. So this is just a bunch of men conniving and talking in rooms.
You know, I don't know. I don't even know how to present this or present it to somebody else, frankly, who's going to be watching. But it was interesting, to say the least. And I want to save some of my comments for later, especially towards the end, when I'm going to actually, prior to our reviews, I'm going to provide you with a review from somebody else that I thought was meaningful to me. I don't want to start with one this week, so I'm going to change it up a little bit. But with that said, I'll give you a quick introduction. I think it's very clear how to present this, but basically, you know, the Pope had passed away, and in doing so, they need to create a conclave, the name of the movie. Peter Griffin would have a laughing fit here. Have you ever seen that Family Guy where it's like, where they say conclave in the movie where the title is conclave or the movie title is mentioned? Peter Griffin loves that. Or he's like in the movie and loses it. You probably don't know the Family Guy. But anyway, so they form a conclave and they're sequestered. Kind of. And trying to choose a new pope. And that's the simplest way to put it. There's connivingness, there's political just mumbo jumbo up and down the roads of life. And I'll get into it a little bit. I want to keep the rest of it for the end. And I should just present it. Me, I love this movie. Okay. Like, very directly loved this movie. And it built and crept up on me where I kind of had like the wool being pulled over my eyes, or at least me peeking through finally being like, oh, I was a kind of an idiot coming into this. And then like a third or less of the way through, I was like, this is a comedy. Like this is straight comedy satire that is very directly should have like been up my alley to begin with. And the second I was on that like trope, I was like, this is so good. But it's like, it comes in these weird pieces that is different, I would say, than typical black comedy or satire. But boy, the church probably did not like this movie at all. Like, even I was like, God, this is so good. But I will say this, their marketing department really, Conclave, really did pretty well here.
Yeah,
I mean,
do you
think they had a hand in, you know, Mr. Francis over there?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, this is quite a marketing scheme.
Like, the movie is going to come out, it came out during award season, but we're gonna release it wide on demand and where you can rent it the day after the Pope dies.
Yeah, 300% increase in viewership.
Oh, did it?
300% as of last night. I read that it was like 283%, which makes sense. There were 6 people watching. Now there's 18, but I'm one of the 18, but. I don't know, man. I don't really know how to frame this. I want to get into like some of the details, but this was a monumental mindfuck and joy the second I was like, this is not the movie I thought it was. And I will say this, the ending was strange, but like almost par for the course. And I do have a very direct explanation, which also makes me laugh that I want to put a pin in, to be honest, on the movie's ending. But what a joy. Like I was in the middle of it. I was going to Manhattan with my wife and we're on the train and I'm watching it there and back. And I was like, this is so good. And laughing out loud good. And I was like, do you really think it was meant as a comedy?
I 100% think it was like this, definitely this biting comedy that that was intended, but it's such a subtle way that they do it. You know what I mean? Like the setup, the writings, the twist, and it's a comedy with like this cloak around it, and it's just like you can see beneath the layers. Like, I mean, even when Tedesco just like at the end of that scene where everything's coming undone, and he just hits his vape.
Okay, God damn it! That was my exact point where I was crying laughing. This is my point. I was going to present this where the nun comes in and drops the bomb about Trimbley, like John Lithgow's character, and was like, yeah, he kind of did what he said he didn't do. And he's like, you got me. And then dude's like, and I was like, what's going on? This is amazing. That was the peak of, they're just fucking with us at this point, you know, like just peak satire. I was laughing on the train, and I don't know if this is meant to be. Maybe it was meant to be a comedy in some way, like a scathing review, but I just found it refreshing. And again, I'll save my ultimate viewpoint of the movie to the very end. But why don't we get into it? I thought the way that this was shot was very different. It almost felt like the Russian arc.
Okay.
Where things were like transitioning, but in a cleaner way, because you didn't have to do an entire movie in one shot.
Yeah,
but it just felt like that story of a ghost following the conclave and their discussions. It was like I actually was a fly on the wall or like a bird in the piazza. I felt like that. Like it was just like you're chiming in from a weird angle and you kind of just like are floating around between the conclave's discussion. And I really appreciated how they did that.
Totally. I have a point of that in the scene where John Lithgow and Ralph Fiennes are talking, and Ralph Fiennes is basically like accusing him, and it's like this wide shot and it's just this dolly zoom, and you're like you said, you're the fly on the wall and you're just getting closer and closer and closer into this very tense conversation, and it doesn't cut, it doesn't need to, but it's zooming in right on their conversation. And that's kind of exactly what encapsulates that.
That conversation was so good. It was so good. And it was, I believe he was saying, you sent,
the nun,
basically sent the nun to stir up the Nigerian from actually like being able to become the next Pope and the only black Pope ever. And he was basically saying, neither did I nor I don't deny this. I don't really accept it. But the fact is, you don't want to be Pope. And if that's actually the truth, you don't want to be Pope, and I were to go away, you would effectively kind of be the next in command. Well, if you don't actually want to be Pope, then this conversation didn't happen. And I was like, oh, that's clearly saying like I did it.
And that's where like usually the scene ends. But you get to hang on to Ralph Fiennes, and he says, but it did happen.
Yeah. So, but he's the gatekeeper, Cardinal Lawrence. Like, he's the gatekeeper. And I truly, from the very beginning, like, clearly didn't think that he was, he didn't want the role. He actually didn't want the role, legitimately. Not in this political way, but he is, like, turning off the riffraff to see, like, what floats to the top. Like, he does have that responsibility and obligation because, I mean, the old Holy Father who passed away, RIP, you know, was anticipating something of this nature. Tremblay was asked to go away, didn't offer that information up, but he is the gatekeeper for the next Pope, effectively. I mean, he's the guy keeping everything together. But I think it's very telling of the church that, and this is where I just think it's hilarious because there's never been a black Pope. And you really think about this, you know, we've had a black president in the US. It's funny at the end, and I guess we'll get to it immediately, but like at the end, the most accepting of the terms for the church or Catholicism is a trans character. And, you know, black people know the church isn't still accepting of that to have a black Pope. And there's like a woman Pope, of course, like that, like, I don't know. It was extremely biting satire. So it is the ending confusing, I would say, to some extent for some people. But to me, it was like, it was a complete dig on the entirety of the church. That's how I perceived it, at least.
Oh, 100%. I mean, yeah. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, there's never been a black Pope.
Yeah.
There's always been these, it's European, typically Italian, things
like
that.
No Asian popes?
But the majority of Catholics, 69% are in Latin America.
Yeah.
And there's
Pope Francis was the first, right?
Yeah, yeah. He was, yeah. Did you know in his earlier days he was a bouncer at a bar?
No.
Did you imagine that?
God bless you and your get out of here. Oh my God, could you imagine like somebody's just drinking wine and he turns it into water?
He turns it into water, yeah.
You've
the
had
best
enough.
Bouncer you're, ever.
You're cut off.
But I was drinking water.
No, you're you not. You're done. Dude, there's this bouncer down the way. Like the guy, he's the inverse. I don't know if he's Satan, but something's wrong with him. He turns my wine into water. Get really hydrated when I go to this bar. I'll have to say though, I should have known it from the very beginning that this movie was going to be the way it is, because I feel like they put one over on me, and the big, again, bulky block letters of Conclave at the title.
Oh, there it is.
The title screen. It was there from the very beginning. And I'm like, again, I wrote it down. I was like, I hate these fucking block letters. Why does every movie have to do this now? And I'm not saying you have to do it, I don't know, in a typewriter format of like the old journalistic way. Just why does it always have to be this? But I think I know why. It was because this is, hey, don't take us seriously for the next hour or 2 hours. We're not really doing this for real. But anyway, what do you think the Pope drinks? What kind of wine? I was speculating this.
Like the Pope in this movie or like the past Pope?
Or yeah, I guess we'd have to go through Pope by Pope. Latin America, yeah. He probably likes a Malbec. Francis probably liked Malbec, right? He's like, I got to go back to my... Or maybe he was a bouncer. Do you think he liked the rum and coke or something?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, he definitely did the cocktail version of this. You know, if I was Pope, I would probably drink
Negroni.
A Negroni would be good. But if I had to do wine as a Pope, it'd probably be something like a Rhone variety. I don't know.
Dude.
Like a Chateauneuf du Pape.
Could you imagine the access you have to Northern Italian red wine?
Oh, it'd be incredible.
I want to be... Dude, I want to go to church now just for that.
You're gonna jump the ranks. You're gonna be very ambitious, like Tremblay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm going all the way. What really moves you? The Holy Spirit in that wine. I think I could do it. You know, like the guy that got hired, basically, I don't know his first job, but it was an entry-level job at Nike, and now he's the CEO of the company. He was like 39 years in the making, something along, or maybe it was 29 years. Nonetheless, it was his whole career. That's the CEO of Nike. If he can do it, I feel like I can. Although, yeah, there are some things in my past, such as this podcast and things I've said on the podcast, that would probably prevent me. But what would they dig up on you, Steven? Mr. Rankin? Would they be like, ooh, man, at that time he swam with the dolphins, he looked at him a little too cute. We got some verifiable evidence of this. He has a hankering towards the marine life.
Maybe. They
have a picture of you.
No, that's got to be, I was thinking about this, and like, you know, the popes of the next generation, not right now per se, but like in 20, 30 years, like they had social media.
Oh, they had like, God, you like, are
we're gonna
so
know,
right.
We're going to know what that pope was doing in high school and college. Not just a bouncer.
Do you know how like canceling? Yeah. If they had the actual video evidence of the bouncing, that would be a bad thing. You know how like cancel culture is like all the time. And in effect, they're doing the cancel culture still like in this movie.
But oh,
like,
yeah, we saw it.
Now, wow. So one bad tweet and your popedom is over. Oh, God. It's going to be who's going to be pope then? Probably somebody that shouldn't be.
Maybe like an influencer that kind of just rose the ranks. And has a very curated Instagram page. I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, they serve an ideal, but they can't always be ideal. And I really like some of the lines.
Oh, yeah.
And they're very true. When the movie was taking itself seriously and showing, you know, adequately what was actually happening, I was riveted by, like, what was happening, that the music was terrific throughout. I was on the edge. I swear to God, I'm not even exaggerating or like playing a bit. Like, I was on the edge of my seat watching this movie. I loved it. Every single moment of like every scene, like there wasn't even a moment that I thought it was dull or boring. And then I just thought this was marketed poorly. I mean, it's not being marketed poorly now. Clearly,
no, the guys at Focus Features were probably like, they got the news. And they were like, we got to push this out. Get somebody on the phone.
Prime needs us now. But so does the world. I just, anyway, there's, I mean, it's so funny, dude. The guy dies and they're like, take the opportunity. I mean, I would do it too. But it's just a little interesting.
It's a little, it's like on the nose. But I mean, people want it. People want to watch it, I guess, you know.
I watched it. We're talking about it now because of it.
That's true.
I will say, true. I want to go back and rewatch it, like especially like the first half, maybe. I wasn't focused entirely on, like, you know, the vape scene, but I don't know. It's so funny, honestly. It's like, it makes me laugh so much. It reminds me of like Chauncey the Gardener, like anything that would happen in, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was another scene. They're in Italy. They have access to virtually the greatest coffee, and there's a Keurig machine being used. I was like, this is so good.
Well, that's the whole, like,
so good.
That's the whole juxtaposition of this movie, right? Like, you're in the Sistine Chapel, yeah. And then the next scene, you're in a small little office, and he's trying to figure out how to use the computer and make copies.
I don't know why. I honestly, like, I'm crying. Like, it's hysterical to me. This is this a comment? Like, how is this even listed? Do you know? Like, what's the official? Is it drama?
I don't know. Let's look this up. It says thriller mystery is what it says.
Yeah,
on Google.
See, it's not. It's very poorly. Like, I love the fact that it's meant to be like this. And Ralph actually went from, you know, I don't know what he's done previous to this in the menu, but like, If you think of his menu role, it'd be like, okay, yeah, clearly, just double
comedy.
That over, yeah, yeah, it goes from Voldemort to this, but terrific. I don't know. I think I would really like to see an African pope or an Asian pope. Really would love to see either. I think it would just like change things up. I would like to see how things transition. But is this really the way it works? I read that it's not.
Oh, really?
Which may well be the case. But like, it seems like a very, it honestly seems like a very good way to choose the next pope. Without exaggeration, seems like how else would you do it? Seems nice.
So
I like it.
I think what I got from this movie is basically everybody in the room, all the cardinals, right? They vote. Yeah. You have to get a three quarters majority, 75% or whatever like that. But if you get one vote, you're still on the ballot. If you don't get any, you're toast. You're gone, right?
Which makes sense.
Well, yeah, which makes sense. That's why we have the incoming pope Innocent.
Benitez.
Benitez. Yeah, he got one vote on the very first ballot. I don't know who voted for him, but he hung on, and it was pretty impressive. But yeah, I don't know how this whole thing works.
I like again. I liked when they were saying the names of the people who received votes, and everyone was looking around in those moments, like, "Who the fuck is that guy?" Like. Just so judgmental, outwardly judgmental. And again, another just it's subtle in the way that they were presenting things, but it was seemingly packaged in a very nice, polite way where like, this is what happens. But boy, I didn't really take it as that. I reviewed this movie kind of like after I realized it was a complete satire, like American Psycho. We're like, this isn't meant to be a serious toned movie. Like he's actually, this character is meant to be made fun of, not to be held in high regard. If that makes sense.
But there's such a thick layer of like seriousness in that mystery thriller.
Yeah.
But like underneath. And then when you get to that underneath part, it's like Lawrence, he's saying the whole time, he's like, I'm not a witch finder. I'm not going to go and do any of these things.
Boy, is he.
But every twist and turn, he's like, I got to find this out.
I love the fact that he was like, well, you know, I got this information from the confessional, but here it is. And he's like,
here it is.
It's like, but I'm not going to use it against you. Wait, what? Like, the drama was just to a 10. This week's episode is sponsored by Soul Roots Running Company, where you can find the best covers for your feet that make you travel comfortably and quickly across sidewalks like Shel Silverstein. Soul Roots offers all varieties of running shoes, clothes, and accessories. And for 10% off, please use the code SCENE, S-C-E-N-E, at checkout. And any order over $180 is free to ship anywhere in the continental United States. Head over to shop.soulrootsracing.com and fill up your cart for 10% off with the code SCENE. And I have a real question, a very solid question, I think, that maybe you even have yourself, but I have a name for you, and I'll go first. Basically, I was thinking of like what you would be, Steven, other than Steven, because you could be a Steven, by the way.
I was already thinking of that. Yeah, I was going
to. Yeah, you'd have to change it up. But I thought you would be good. A Boniface Cruise Control. I think that would be a good name, right? Yeah.
Yes. Boniface Cruise Control.
You look like more of a pope material than I do.
Really? I was gonna say the opposite here. I think
your Lutheran upbringing would immediately suggest otherwise.
You already got the name.
No, that's your name. Boniface Cruise Control.
You just have to add the H, I think. John. That's it.
No, that's not gonna work. Anyway, what would you name yourself?
I'd like to keep it with Stephen because he was the first martyr in the Bible. Did you know that? Stephen.
No. Yeah.
First one.
No.
To,
I think I would go for like
I got stoned. Stephen got stoned in the Bible. Not
Does
in
he get
the,
stoned in real life?
Not in the herbal way. there should be like a website, like you know, like you can get your own rap name like generator, like Pope name generator.
I think there is. I too thought of this. And I will say if you know, many times in this podcast, you need to stop dropping that mendacious information, bro. Stop being so mendacious. I honestly had no idea what that word meant when Mr. Liffey Tremblay was like saying it. I was like, I don't know what you're even saying right now. What does that even mean? So I had to like SAT it up and Google it. What does mendacious mean? It's like, oh, okay, just lying.
I was just lying. No cap.
Or cap? 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 I don't know. No cap? Cap? Cap's lying, right?
No, I think cap, so.
I'm not lying. I don't know.
240 You're spilling the tea.
Old, yeah, people knows here. But the vape. The vape is just terrific. I think Ralph, if they were to redo the movie, would make a really good Chance / Chauncey the Gardener. Don't you?
Oh, if he was like in Being There, yeah, as yeah, yeah. Chauncey?
He'd be Chauncey.
I could see that, yeah.
I think he'd be terrific at it. Yeah. But, you know, there's not a whole lot to say about the movie itself. I mean, I think it's all been said, more or less.
I have a question for you, though.
Yeah, hit me up.
So, when I was watching this movie, for the second time, because I saw it in theaters, did you ever, as a kid... Because I went to church a lot, right? My dad is a pastor. Did you ever have a church lock-in? Because this is basically what this is.
Yes, I've had a church lock-in.
What is the purpose of a church lock-in? It seems kind of ridiculous to think back on it. Get a bunch of like...
Play video games and hang out with your pals.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
I remember once that we had a church lock-in. This is like the one church lock-in I do remember. And I wasn't wearing socks, and they made us take off our shoes. And I had to go the whole, like, 4 hours without socks on. And I just couldn't think. I was just, like, praying to God, can I get some socks? The whole time. It's all I was thinking about. I couldn't stop thinking about it for some reason. I'm still thinking about it now, or talking about it. But, yeah, the point, at least in my church, you know, I went to Lutheran school growing up until I was in fourth grade, and so I do know some of the traditions, if you will. But we didn't have lock-ins there. We had some lock-ins in the Pentecostal / non-denominational, which basically meant, you know, people dance around in the aisles and sing the praises, but it was mostly to get to know each other from a personal perspective, and there was some singing and shouting along the way. But yeah, it was just a longer church version, basically, for us, at least. Not the most fun.
Yeah, all I remember about church lock-ins is like a bunch of food, playing video games. I don't remember any Jesus talk, really. Maybe there was like a sermon or something like that, but it was more just like, how late can we stay up? And I don't know, see the sunrise.
That late for you guys?
I mean, there was no beds. Like, you had to bring sleeping bags and like literally sleep on the floor where this other kid is just walking around barefoot the whole time. Like, no thanks.
That's right. Stinky footed Mr. Lee. I will say this without exaggeration or joking. The older I've gotten, the more I actually do appreciate tradition. And I actually do appreciate the continuing of tradition and the people that kind of like kill it. I don't think it's a good thing. So I actually do enjoy, should mind my words here, but church tradition, not the diddling kind. Like, you know, P. Diddy might have been like Sean John. Could have worked well. Seems, yeah, like he would have made a good first pope. Ugh, the jokes are bad jokes. Bad jokes. This is why I don't do stand-up, peoples. But he would have made a good pope. Anyway, I like the tradition, though, of finding a new pope, even if this is not real or accurate. I like the idea of like people just sitting out waiting for the next Holy Father to be named and the smoke to come up. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool effort from this one little pipe. You just see the smoke. It reminds me of Euro Trip. Do you remember Euro Trip?
I remember Euro Trip, but I don't remember anything about the pope and the smoke.
Well, Euro Trip, don't they go to like Bratislava and like for the last nickel they have like a huge rager? Anyway, they get to Rome and Italy, and they're they're somehow found themselves in the Vatican, and they do the I don't know, what's the white smoke? Oh, so they do the black smokes and they're like, oh, the Pope's dead. And then they do the white smoke and like, oh, they found a new Pope. And then he trips and falls. I can't even remember who the character was. On the curtain and then the exact placement now has the wardrobe of a Pope and goes on to the balcony after the white smoke is released. Something, you know, something cheesy like that, but it was hilarious. But it reminds me of that. Have you ever been to the Vatican? Vatican City?
Never been to Italy, no. Or the Vatican, for that matter, because it's its own country, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's only like
how big is
12
that?
Acres or something.
That's wild.
Maybe it's less than that. Maybe it's 4 acres. I don't even know. How many acres is the Vatican? What's your guess?
I'm going to say 7.
I'm going to go say 12.
I'm going to ask Google here. We're going to find
what
out.
What does Google say? Because Monaco's like 20 and the Vatican's smaller.
109 acres, Vatican City.
Are you sure? What is Monaco?
Yes.
Maybe Monaco's 200. Zeros are being removed as we
514
speak.
Acres. So you could fit about five Vatican's in Monaco.
Maybe I'm doing hectares.
Maybe.
A couple wands in there as well.
Hey, what do you think about the Black Cardinal Adiani getting basically canceled?
That's fucked up.
After 30 years of a silly mistake,
it's so fucked up. Like, I could not agree more in the sense that, yeah, we serve an ideal, but all of us are less than ideal. But it's like, well, I don't know. To me, I think that's silly, but I do understand the political nature of it. I mean, it happens all the time in U.S. politics where people
sometimes
can get away with things and sometimes can't. And I think that what they're really trying to say is like, we've never had a black pope and now you have this. Like, nope, not going to make it. Two strikes against you.
We don't want the black pope to end up on Maury and be like, is this your kid? We've got the results.
Oh my God. I miss Maury Povich. Is he alive? Oh, Jerry Springer died, but.
Yeah, but Maury was a fun after school show to watch. Always cared
for whom? For you as a kid? My God. Jesus. What are you watching?
Oh, yeah. I watched Maury.
I was watching DuckTales, and you're sitting over here watching Maury Povich.
Hell yeah.
Your sister. I think he's the father.
He's the father.
That's I could see it in his eyes. All just like actors. I love when they would just like run off. Be like, you're the father. No! And sprinting down the hallways. And of course, like, I always want to see like the cameraman sprinting. So I want to see the version where it's, you have the cameraman running after the guy. And then I want to see another cameraman.
Yeah.
Who's running after the cameraman, running after the guy. So like, I just want to see how fast they are because they're quick. Very quick.
And with all equipment? Yeah, exactly. Do you think they were actors, right? They had to be.
They were pretty, why would you do that otherwise?
That's true. Yeah.
Seems
same
like
thing on Judge Judy. I think Judge Judy, they're all actors. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know.
I don't know. They'd have to be. But anyway, big fan. Honestly, a big fan of this movie. I might actually go and watch it again with my wife. I think it, as I was watching it, I was like, I have to get through this. Basically, I can't watch this with you because the time is a...
of the
it's drifting away. Yeah. Time keeps on slipping. But anyway, Ralph, I think this I'll get to the ratings in a second, I guess. Do you have anything else to say? I honestly have nothing else to say about the movie. I loved it.
No, just I think it's
short,
I think,
to
I mean,
the point.
This movie came out right around the election of last year. So that's kind of what a lot of people put on it of like, you know, the election of like liberalism versus traditionalist versus conservative and like what that means and how to move forward and stuff like that. But now we have, you know, the Pope that's dead and we have an actual conclave IRL. And it's that much more enjoyable to watch. I kind of wish that there was like, you know, Big Brother and how there's just cameras on the walls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that we had that in the Vatican now and we could like just like stream the conclave and like what's going on and like have like a chat and just everybody's chatting about what's going on and be like, did you see that guy hit his vape?
Or it's like, Michael, man, Michael, I saw you like with the restroom camera. It doesn't show the restroom, but it does show the sinks. I saw that you didn't wash your hands. What's that about? Do you really want to bless these children in the future if you don't?
This guy can't be Pope. He has poor hygiene.
You have dirty hands. You're going to touch our kids with those dirty hands? No, you're out. So like those are the moments that I think, but they'd be sequestered. They wouldn't even realize that. But then what happens if like, what happens if they, the people from the outside world, instead of using bombs, they use pigeons? So it's just like this weird code and like pigeon, just like what's your favorite movie?
Yeah, the Ghost Dog.
That's how they start communicating, getting like actual pigeons in a tweet out there. That'd be interesting. I mean, there has to be like this moral agreement that, yeah, we're sequestered, but if information is strong enough, well, clearly we're going to use that against you or to our advantage. There has to be that. Why wouldn't there be? This whole thing is the biggest deal on earth. As they say, you're going to be the most famous man in the world in a sec. But
you get to ride around in a bubble car. Remember the Pope Mobile?
Yeah, yeah.
That was my first ever memory of the Pope, is like seeing the bubble car.
And do you have a second memory around of the Pope?
the first sticks pretty hard.
Yeah, there's nothing better. Yeah. The fact that it has a name. Do you think, what kind of car do you think a Pope Mobile is?
It's got to be a car of the people, right? Maybe a Volkswagen?
I would imagine it's an Italian car.
Okay.
Just want to put that out there. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
The Pope driving around in a Ferrari. That'd be cool.
Yes. Yes, I could. Why wouldn't they have had a Ferrari Pope Mobile?
They should. I mean, that makes sense, right?
What's your guess on Pope Mobile?
Pope Mobile, I don't know a lot of Italian cars except the super ones. So like Ferrari, Lamborghini are out of it. What about what other Italian cars are there? I'm horrible at this.
Yeah, I'm not very good with cars either. But the strangely enough, you were actually kind of right. The first all electric one that the Pope Francis used, 2014, is a Mercedes-Benz G-Class. But I want to know
German.
Like the
okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you had it right to begin with. But I want to see, isn't it just so strange that like the Pope Mobile like exists? It's just so weird to me.
Well, you got to think, even in this movie, there was bombs going off and things like that. So like there's got to be some kind of, you know, I don't know if the Pope has a secret service, but he's got some protection when he rides around.
Could lots you imagine, of Mercedes.
Like, really?
Yeah, they had a GMC Sierra when he traveled to Canada. Seems like a little bit of a dig at Canada. Do Canadians have cars? I don't even know. I am absolutely clueless on cars. But anyway, I'm actually going to follow this conclave whenever it does exist. And I wish there was a Big Brother. I would probably watch it 24/7. And I'm not even a fan of political ideology of any capacity. I mute and block every account imaginable on all platforms to get away from it. So it's just all football or soccer and like MMA or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But this, I would open my whole world up to the chaos that exists as this conclave is discussing things. I mean, the drama has to be excellent. And I think these personalities where like it's calm, cool, collected, allegedly. You know, I've been around a lot of pastors, and that's how they try to be. But in the moments that like people were not like that, I want the drama is like this could be on Bravo. This is the next big Bravo show, you know?
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean, it's this like weird dichotomy of like you're supposed to be this cardinal, pastor, pope, whatever, this person that's trying to serve and be humble, but you also want to be like the most powerful person in the world, or you have that kind of subtlety that like I don't want this, but I really do.
Yeah. It's the way to say kind of fuck you to everybody. But anyway, big fan, love this movie. I want to watch it again. I think it's a more complicated watch than I was expecting, in that once I figured out what it was doing, took me probably too long to figure it out. I should have known from the very title screen that this was going to be of mass proportions, not exactly what I was expecting. But terrific, terrific movie, honestly. And so I want to get to, I guess, the ratings. Do you have any other questions for me, Your Honor? Your Holy Father, Stephen?
No, I think...
Bonaparte Cruise Control.
I do want to just mention, like, breaking into the Holy Father's room, that's got to be kind of... That's a gamble.
I mean, things had to get done. He's the gatekeeper. He was put in that position in his brain.
He can break
by
the chains.
First of all, the Holy Father knew that this was going to happen. And so he was, and this is what he's thinking in his head. He put me here to begin with. He wanted me to be the gatekeeper. He wanted me to do this. And that's why he set me up and he wouldn't allow me to resign as dean. So like, he's convinced himself of that. And so therefore, of course he's right. But I think that's the meddling of what they're doing with what is acceptable and moral and what is not. You can convince yourself of anything as a human being, and you can always take the high moral ground, and it doesn't matter what it is. Just look at every single religion. But anyway, by the way, in August, we have decided, because there's been some transitions in our family, we are actually going to go more than likely to Rome in August. And so we're thinking of probably going to the Vatican. So we can actually check out the new, you know, the new Pope there.
Maybe they're still there and you can see the gray smoke coming out of the chimney.
Like, I think, doesn't it isn't there an expiry date?
I don't know. I think you got to just, it keeps going until you get the majority of 75% or whatever it is.
People would not allow that. Who would they be? Like, there's confessionals that have missed. Do people have the opportunity, if there's no Holy Father, to like actually be recommending of things? Can they be like, dude, let's cheat on our wives. Let's just have a rager this weekend. There's not even a Pope around. It hasn't been around for like 6 years. Everyone is just debaucherous. People are smoking crack in the streets of Rome. People are just like, just diddling. Like everything is just like coming back to like the dark ages of Italian culture, I would say. Like, what would happen? I think people would go crazy. Some people. And then some people turns into a lot more people.
It's basically the Purge, but with the religion, and you can do whatever the fuck you want.
I want to see that movie next. Dude, could you imagine the Purge? AKA, there is no Pope.
The Papal Purge.
What's that movie, A Day Without a Mexican? Not a great movie, but I would love to see a 6 months, 6 months without a Pope. Like, what would this look like? Let's find out.
I'd like to watch that.
It would be great. Well, there is no Pope, honey. You want to take it up the butt today?
Oh, God.
Pope doesn't say it's wrong.
You don't have to even go to confessional after. You don't have to tell anybody.
Yeah. Who would you tell? And I usually talk to the Pope, but a little bit. Anyway, let's get to some ratings. We got things.
Do you have
to
any reviews that you want to read, or is that kind of coming in? Are you baking that into it?
This is it. So why don't you go first on your own review, and then I would like to go second, please and thank you.
Okay. I love this movie, and I'm glad that you got to check it out and watch it. This is like actually one of the ones during Oscar season that I think was in the bucket for you to watch. And
I'm so sorry I missed this.
That's okay. It's also honestly, like,
I saw the trailer and I was like, there's no chance I'm gonna watch this.
Honestly, like, I wish this would have won the best picture. Like, I enjoyed this movie tenfold. I think it was it's gonna go down as like this cult classic of like, once people actually watch it and see it, there's 283% jump in the past, you know, few days. And the people that get it are going to be like, hey, you need to watch Conclave.
Yeah.
I think it was just a boiler room, great, just dialogue driven mystery thriller comedy that just kind of just has this biting sting. And I think the actors were great. I think the sound, just like even when like something happens and you hear that, just that loud bang.
Yeah.
It's just great sound design. They actually built the Sistine Chapel in 10 days because you can't film in there. And just the craft work that went into like building that Sistine Chapel is amazing. But yeah, this movie, is it five glasses? I don't know, but I'm going 4.5.
Yeah. So it's not a five glass for me. And I also had it at 4.5, but I'll give you a backstop. I'm going to read this review by, I didn't even write the person down because I don't want to give them any credit, but, or maybe I should have to make fun of them entirely. And this is to go to all of what I have just said that I think a lot of people who probably watched this movie to begin with, missed the point of it. And it was clearly missed by this reviewer. It took me a while to actually find this one. But with that being said, I love the fact that this review can exist by an actual critic out there in the world, that they went through the entire movie. You know, I made it a third, maybe less or so. This woman made it all the way through the movie and still had this review, which to me is a monumental success by the director, all of the actors, and everyone like subtly making this movie work through a large lens of satire and dark comedy that was so pervasive by the end of it. And if you didn't get it at the vape scene, it's just not one of those movies, I guess, that you don't even think in that way. But this is the review. One important takeaway from Conclave: a badly written, poorly researched, that's where I started laughing, half-baked mystery that takes itself too seriously, but turns at times into unwitting comedy? Oh, really? It is so simplistic, ignorant, and shallow that it feels like it was written for an audience of 12-year-olds, you and I. I was like, maybe the latter half of that. But I was like, they clearly had missed the point. And if you read a variety of these other reviews, they either take it seriously and be like, this is so good, or like pro-trans, or like whatever it might be, and still miss the point. And I love that. The fact that people could watch the entirety of this movie and still completely miss it. Because I think that's how subtle the takes were throughout, except for the vape. I mean, the vape was just like an abundantly clear notion of it.
Yeah, the whole point of this movie is what is religion of and what is this so self-importance of these men dressing in robes, walking around, wheeling and dealing, hitting vapes, and trying to elect somebody that's next to God? Yeah. And we're all mortal men. That's what they said in the movie. We're all just people, humans that make mistakes. We can never be that close to a God ideal.
Yeah, but they're pretending to be, or they want
they're
to be.
They're pretending to be, and that's why it's so ridiculous.
So it's a 4.5 glasses movie for me, and I'll be very direct in the sense, because I think that I really missed this one, and if we go back to Oscar season, this is my best picture, actually, of the year, 100%. Like, full stop, what I would want to win as well is definitely this movie. Like, it is scathing satire at its very subtle finest. And so much so, I mean, maybe you could take it like even a step further and like remove the vape and the Keurig and maybe a couple other shots. And then it's like really, it's so confusing that you don't even really know what it is anymore. I'm glad it's not yet that, because I don't know how I'd feel if it were that, or what would people think. But like, I like that there were just a couple over the top, what I thought over the top shots. They even had the sound of the Keurig when they're trying to have a discussion. It just, I don't know. Everything was just hysterical. It was just so funny to me.
Even the sprinkling in of the nuns and like Isabel Rossellini and like even her speech saying like, God has blessed me with eyes and ears, I'm going to say what I saw.
Yeah, basically.
In this patriarchal society.
Basically, right before that, she was like, I know I'm not supposed to be here because y'all men like and look down upon us, but I'm still alive and kicking, and God loves me too. Okay, so here it is. Fuck you, bitches. That's basically what she said.
Yeah, like, yeah.
But yeah, great, great.
She
scene.
Got nominated for a supporting actress for her limited time in this movie. Wow. Yeah, because she made a good. She made a big impact. I think
they're who they chose to be in the movie. Just terrific.
Yeah, Stanley, great cast.
Stanley's awesome. Anyway, Yeah, it's 4.5 for me, but that's it.
Did you know? So this movie is based on a book, and I just got to give this little tidbit out there. Benitez in the movie, he's a hermaphrodite. Spoiler alert. And he has a uterus and ovaries, but in the actual book, he has a vagina. And they changed that for some reason, in and of itself.
That's weird. Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting what people do to change the book to movie. But anyway, what a joy. I was fully expecting, because I saw the trailer when we were doing the Oscar stuff, and I was like, how did
not
that...
for me.
Yeah. And then like I heard other people were like, it was really slow. Nothing really was like just nobody had anything exciting to say about it. And then I was like, okay. I should have watched it like long ago. This is my best picture. This is my best picture for last year, but like I don't think in a typical year it'd win best picture in my view, but I think last year was about the softest year possible.
I could agree with that.
Because the writer strike, I think, ruined, as it should have, the majority of high level films being made.
What's next week?
We're talking about K-Pax with Kevin Spacey and aliens, generally speaking. Well,
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it appears
mental patients.
The trailer that he's an alien.
It's true,
but I don't know. We'll see. It's allegedly from this lovely place called K-Pax. So we're talking about that in episode 65. And until then, ta-ta. Goodbye from our world.